All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual fighting at BKFC 42 in the co-main event, no less, and that goes down on May the 12th. And it's a very intriguing fight as we have Doug Coltrane knuckling up and towing the line against Anthony Blake Lacaze. And great having Blake on the show. How are you doing there, man?
I'm doing great, man. I'm ready to get rolling. We're just fight week and 7 days out, and I'm ready to fight right now.
Yeah, and you were speaking with, you know, mission accomplished about being the co-main now and everything like that. And, I mean, facing a, you know, a tough opponent for sure in, you know, Doug Coltrane. And you talked about how he was kind of like a taller fighter and whatnot, but also that this is like a bit of a make or break fight in terms of like who could really like push towards getting like a title crack at 185. So just all that considered, I imagine you were very excited when this fight offer came your way, but what was the temperament when the bout offer initially did come your way?
Oh man, I was already full-fledged ahead coming off of my last win, and we got offered this with my management, and they gave me the name, and I was full-fledged, all steam ahead for this fight. I knew what was at stake, and what I could accomplish with a big win coming off of this fight. But I'm not looking past Coltrane at all. This is going to be probably my hardest test. This is going to be his hardest test. And we're going to come in there and shoot missiles at each other and try to drop bombs. And we both know it's make or break, like we just said, who's going to get the push. And we both know what's at stake. So this is going to be a very entertaining, exciting fight.
Yeah, and I saw another interview saying you're like really ready to make some noise in BKFC. I would think that this fight really fits well within that as well.
Absolutely. So, like a lot of people say, I just make a lot of noise when I walk in the room because I stand out. I'm 6'7", and just kind of tower over the room when I walk in and kind of let my presence be known when I step in a room. And it's no different when I step in the ring, and when I want to step in the ring, let my presence be known, let everybody know Big Boy's going to fight.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, definitely, you know, something worth mentioning, like you talk about like the size you have for the weight class. I mean, like an 80 and a half inch reach is, you know, quite wild to, you know, say the least, and everything. Like, how much of a benefit is that too, just in terms of like managing the distance and stuff like that? And I mean, I guess like is the distance management and kind of gauging the range a little bit different in bare knuckle as compared to, you know, maybe some other sports you've participated in, i.e. gloved boxing?
I've always been a range fighter, obviously being a tall guy, from amateurs through pros. It's been all about my range, and we've stayed on that. We've kind of tried to illustrate that even more with this bare knuckle because of how the punches dominate and bust you up and cut you open. And yeah, so our range is going to be the game plan. And another thing we're liking is this fight's going to be at 75. It's not going to be at 85, normally where Coltrane's at. He's coming down in weight. I've held my weight really good so far this camp. I'm walking around at 77, 78 right now. So I'm going to be right on weight next week. And I'm just ready to put on a show for BKFC, man. I'm not in the co-main. He's not in the co-main for nothing.
That's interesting, and that fits well within a question that I had, because I noticed throughout your like gloved boxing endeavors, like you largely would fight between like, you know, 172 and 198, like a pretty sizable range over some of the fights. So I guess to that point, is this weight category where perhaps you feel most optimal? Like, is this like a good place for you at 175, like the best, I guess, natural fit, you would say?
Oh, absolutely. So when I fight at 175, I feel like I'm the strongest at that point because that's the lowest I can really get. And I know I said I held my weight at 77 for this camp, but on a normal basis, even if I'm in a boxing camp and my previous bare knuckle bouts, I walk around at 200, 203 pounds. And then I drop my weight cut the week before the fight and get down to 75. But when I'm at 75, I feel my strongest, versus where I'm fighting at like 190 or 200, where I'm basically fighting a heavyweight when it comes that night. I always like to fight the lowest I can and try to use my attributes and my strengths to my advantage.
And just like I, you know, touched on the, you know, boxing experience, like 20 professional gloved boxing bouts and a pair of, you know, bare knuckle bouts to your credit at this point. I'm kind of curious, like, if you have, I guess, different elements to your camp for bare knuckle versus, like, say, how you would curate a gloved boxing camp. Because I've talked to different guys who will, like, you know, hit the wooden Muay Thai boards, you know, punching sand, gripping rice, things of that persuasion. Like, do the camps differ at all between those two combat sports there for you?
Oh, absolutely, it differs. The way we train bare knuckle was completely different, and versus the way that you would train for a boxing match. The bare knuckle was all about protecting yourself and also strengthening and toughening yourself as possible, as much as possible. So your camp is a lot different for bare knuckle and easy. I don't so much punch the wood, the Muay Thai pad. I don't know what it's really called, but I do strengthen my hand. I do work without gloves on, and I do, you know, prepare myself for a bare knuckle fight. But I try to keep my hands as safe as possible also through the training camp.
I feel like also someone like, you know, Zach Calmus would help out in that regard. Like, obviously, like, you've got the, you know, wealth of experience that I just alluded to, but he's in a similar spot with, like, the gloved boxing and bare knuckle boxing experience. And you were talking about some of the dog work that the two of you, you know, get with each other and having big expectations for the year. So can you kind of talk about that, I guess, sparring partner, training partner dynamic with Zach Calmus? It seems very beneficial for both of you.
Oh, absolutely. Zach Calmus brought out the Blakely Cavs. He brought out the real Blakely Cavs in his bare knuckle. And Zach Calmus transitioned my style over to bare knuckle. I give that man 100% props. He kind of reminded me who I was. And when we go to training, when it doesn't matter if it's running, sparring, punching the bag, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, me and Zach are pushing each other to the limits, to, like, to the extent of exhaustion, going to fall out, because me and him want it so bad. It's a bond that we've made from this past New Year's, and he said, we're going to mess stuff up this year. I didn't laugh at him or nothing. I told him, I said, Zach, I'm with you 100%. We're going to go mess stuff up. And that's what we've done so far, and we've implemented that into our training, and we train hard, and there's no pussyfoot in our training camp, man. It's just like kill or be killed, and we want to bring that style when we come into the fight. Zach's a great sparring partner. He's a great training partner. He's a great friend, and he's just really reminded me who I was. And Zach's got big things coming this year, and he put a lot of people on notice with his last fight as well.
Yeah, definitely something I would agree with too. And it seems like some great work is also being had with, like, Austin Stringfellow. And in terms of, like, I guess specific spaces, it seems like West Monroe Boxing Club and Pearl Boxing Club are, like, the primary areas you're getting in work at. Can you, I guess, speak to just how those, you know, spaces have, you know, kind of galvanized your skills? And is that a fair way to phrase it? Like, are those the two main spaces you're getting in work at prior to this fight?
Well, it's been West Monroe Boxing Club mainly this whole training camp. I've went over to Pearl Boxing Club and trained with Big Baby and Chop Chop Sims. Both of those guys, Chop Chop's like 11-1, holds ABO and ABF light heavyweight titles at 175 in boxing. And Big Baby's a 5-0, 5 knockout professional boxer, formerly ranked number one through the nation out of Pearl Boxing Club in Pearl, Mississippi. And that man just gives me really dog work, and Chop Chop does too. And then you spoke on Austin Stringfellow, one of the toughest kids we know around. He's out of Arkansas, close to my hometown. But Austin, when he comes in to spar, he comes in, brings the pressure. There's no quit about him, and that's everything that I wanted to add into my training camp, and that's the kind of sparring partners that my coach and my dad and me, that we've all added into my camp to get me ready for this co-main event at BKFC 42 here in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, and can you speak to, you know, I guess that specific aspect of it? Like, I mean, I guess I'm presuming maybe you put a certain amount of stock in it, but you've been in the combat sports game for a little bit now, and to be, like, the co-feature of, you know, a promotion that's, like, really surging and being the co-headliner for an event like this, like, is that something that you really take a lot of esteem from? Like, is it almost like a validating kind of thing in a way, like just the hard work paying off sort of deal?
Yes, sir. I'm having some audio difficulty. I can't hear what you're saying real good just there.
Oh, no worries. I was just saying that, you know, you're a guy who's obviously been in combat sports for a while. Like, is there a certain, like, validating kind of feeling almost to being in, like, a co-main event for such a big, like, ever-growing kind of promotion?
Absolutely. It's huge to be a part of this BKFC event and co-main event. And my sparring partners, my team, everybody's just real big on this. They're really pushing me as hard as they can to get me where I'm at for this camp and have me in top conditioning and top shape for this fight. And everybody's just really kind of put in their own little effort for me, trying to push me and push a little step forward for this big fight. And I'm grateful for my team and my training partners. I really am.
That's awesome. And the gratitude definitely comes across, I guess, like some of these facets we're talking about, like how prominent this fight is and some of the stakes, like, and not overlooking this fight per se, but could you see this being a fight that could vault you towards fighting like a top five ranked opponent next? I imagine that would be something you would want, but are you getting that sense from everything?
Oh, absolutely. And I feel the sense of like the push that I may get off of this fight. So I know Dave Mundell's the middleweight champion right now, and I've heard that he's going to be in attendance that night. And I need a big win. And I'd like my title shot, man. I feel like I'm well earned of it, and I fought nothing but top guys since I've been in BKFC, and I've prevailed, and I'm looking to prevail this next fight. I want a title shot for sure. If it's not a title shot, I want a contender shot. Just whatever I can get me closer to that belt. And I can't look past Coltrane, and he's in my way right now. That, and I got to take care of that next Friday.
Yeah, and I mean, a very interesting matchup that could possibly be. Like, I was seeing an article saying you stand a full 9 inches taller than David Mundell. So that would be, you know, quite a sight to see. I mean, you're the tallest fighter to have competed in BKFC's middleweight division, but that could definitely make for a very interesting style matchup, but also a very interesting fight poster, too, I would think.
No, absolutely. I'd like him to bring his redneck book to the swamp and let me show him some big boy ways down here in the bayou.
Yeah, I love hearing that, and it really seems like you love representing for your home state a fair bit. Like, I was seeing, like, you were fighting Lance Thompson, and that seemed to be a big one for you, like getting the W in, you know, Shreveport and really representing there. Like, how important are those different career moments for you? Like, obviously this fight doesn't fit within that context of being within that state, but I imagine you look at each fight as a chance to kind of represent for Louisiana. So you can you kind of, you know, speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Every time I step in the ring, I'm representing Louisiana. And last time I fought in Shreveport, I ended up knocking the guy out. And I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty. Hello. I'm so sorry. I'm having difficulties right now with my cell phone. But anyways, yes, I fought in Shreveport last time, and I've never lost in Shreveport as a professional. So every time I fight in Shreveport as a boxer or anything, they always write me up as Shreveport's adopted son, and they always want me to main event any boxing show that comes there, and I try to do my best, and that's close to home where I'm at, and I always try to represent Louisiana, the I-20, which is the top of Louisiana, all the way to the bottom, man. I love Louisiana. I love the state I'm from.
Yeah, that really comes across, and you also come across as, like, a very, you know, involved family man. Like, I saw the, you know, post you had a couple months ago talking about your, you know, little girl turning two, you know, happy belated birthday, quite a ways away from it, but, I mean, can you speak to that? I imagine that would, you know, add to, you know, a great motivation base. Like, I imagine you're very much driven to, you know, keep growing in this career path. But I would think that, like, you know, the passion for the family and their support would also really add to that fire as well.
Oh, absolutely. Baby Ayla is a lot of inspiration for me. It's my baby girl. And She's my only kid I have, and she's a lot of motivation, man. Just these past 3 days, she's been with me, and we've been watching film and stuff, and it's like she zones in at 2 years old, like watching film with me and telling, "Daddy, watch this. Daddy, look at this." And it's really it's motivational for me, but it also kind of touches my heart because it's my kid, and she's looking up to me, and everything I'm doing is for her and for her future. And it's just a lot at stake for me, and I just don't want to fall short.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I love hearing that great dynamic for sure. Glad that she's, you know, getting into that with you, and there's some bonding to be had as you kind of prepare for the fight. But I'm kind of curious, I guess, one of the last questions that I had, because I mean, certain fighters kind of practice the whole visualization thing, and you know, some don't. I guess if you're one of those guys that does that, do you have like a, I guess, predominant visualization for how this Doug Coltrane fight is gonna go? Like, is there a certain, you know, story that's gonna unfurl in this one? Like, is there like a regular, I guess, visualization you have of what the outcome of this fight could be?
I always like to tell people fighting is like court. You never know how that's going to turn out. And I never like to say what I'm going to do because you never know what you're going to do. I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I've trained my butt off for, and I know what's at stake. And I'm not coming up to South Carolina to lose. I'm not going to step into that ring to lose. That's not even an option. I got a lot at stake, and that's riding on me. And this is nothing personal. Me and Doug have no beef, nothing. This is a complete business fight. I'm going to have to hate the man for 10 minutes in the ring, and then I can be friends with him afterwards. But other than that, this is business, and he's in my way. So when the story unfolds is it's going to be two tall fighters in the middleweight division. It's going to be the tall giant, the big guy, big boy. I'm going to prevail. I'm going to win this fight. And then I want my title shot, or I want my contender shot. And that's the story I want to prevail out of this whole fight here. And I want to be a big, big win for me. Because Doug said a few things. I haven't really mentioned nothing back, nothing, just social media beef. I'm not into that stuff. That's the easy part, is talking. And he got that over with. Now you got to get in the ring and do it. So that's where I'm at. I know what's at stake. I want my story to prevail. Blake come through, beat the other taller fighter, gets his contender shot or his title shot, and we're on to the next chapter in my career.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting to see. Definitely was stoked for this fight, but you know, that excitement increasing after getting some great insights from you, man. But definitely want to be mindful of your time and schedule, like I was kind of saying from the top. So to that point, is there any final parting thought you might want to put out there as we're kind of, you know, wrapping things up here, man?
Just basically how I started. We're a week out. We're exactly 7 days away, and I could fight right now. I could step out of my house and go right on the street in the yard. I could do it in this living room. I'm ready to fight right now, and I want to leave that note on there. I'm just ready as can be, and I can't wait to get it over with and get this fight going.
Yeah, I think that focus and readiness is really going to translate into a very exciting fight here. And yeah, definitely excited to see this BKFC 42 co-main event against Doug Coltrane, and very much looking forward to May 12th and how everything is going to go with that. But until then, you have a good rest of your day there, man. Thank you for the time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry for my phone difficulties early, but you know how this technology stuff is. You have a great day, my man.
No, it's all good, man. I think I had a couple issues on my end too, so I appreciate you know, being patient with everything. And yeah, to reiterate, you have a good day, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is set to be part of the co-main event at BKFC 42, and that all goes down on May 12th. We've got Blake Lacaze and Doug Coltrane getting out there, and great getting to have Doug on the show for the very first time. How's everything going today, man?
What's up, man? You know, beautiful Friday. Beautiful day, man. Just, you know, like you said, getting last minute things done, trying to get everything together. So I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But other than that, man, everything is good.
Yeah, a lot going on for sure, especially, you know, like I said in the intro, jumping up to the co-main event this time from the opening card last time out with like BKFC 35 when you got that Brian Jackson stoppage. Is that something you put a certain level of stock into, at least as far as like it indicating, you know, advancement in your career, like being in the co-main event, or does it not really matter? Like wherever you're at on the card, it's still a cool time.
Well, man, it was a little surprise and the jump to the co-main event, but you know, yeah, it's felt like a dream a little bit, and you know, it just, you know, the moment that I seen that, it just gave me more motivation, and you know, it just you know, then BKFC 41 pops off, and you know, crazy just going viral and everything, and you know, my, you know, the promo to BKFC 42 being played all night on that, man, everything, man, it's just been unreal, and it's just fed fire to the fuel, man. I've been busting my butt, man, to let everybody know who the Cold Red Coltrane is, man, and May 12th, I plan to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about, you know, how much of a success that BKFC 41 show was and everything like that. Like, it seems like the promotion had been steadily growing for the last few years now, but that really felt like a breakthrough event in a lot of different regards. Can you speak to, I guess, just the excitement of that, just the momentum of, you know, how the company is growing as you're growing in your skills and everything as a fighter?
It's crazy, man. Like, obviously, like, you know, April 21st was a year since I've been with the company or whatever, or since I've been fighting for the company. I started last April 21st. That was my first fight with them. And, you know, then, you know, it felt like it was big, you know. And it's just, and I was like, man, it's growing. But obviously, people, you know, even then, like, some people I still had to explain it to. Like, far as people, like, in the fight world, like the MMA guys or whatever. But, like, since then, like, it's crazy, bro. Like, it's crazy to see, you know, how it started, and then, you know, the last couple years, and then last year, and then out of nowhere this year, it just kind of, like, you know, just, I feel like it's been growing, and it's been the fastest growing sport, but I feel like BKFC 41 and everything that's been popping off in the last couple months has just kind of solidified that. It's no longer growing though. Now we here now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And this one seemingly a little bit different, at least in as far as what I can tell with the weight category, just with like the first two outings being at 185 and this one being at 175 pounds. Like, how much does like your camp alter, or I guess the methodology change preparing for this 175 drop as compared to what you would do like fighting at 185?
Well, actually, the last fight was at 175, and I made 175, and my opponent weighed in at 185. He weighed in 10 pounds heavy at the weigh-ins, and, you know, I went back and hydrated a little bit and weighed in again so we could fight, so the fight could continue. But, yeah, I made 175. I weighed in at 175. Far as camp wise, you know, I started my diet out about 7 weeks out when I signed the contract. I started my diet and then I cut out all the junk. I cut out all the bull crap. So yeah, it's a little, you know, it's, you know, I'm ready to fight now because of that, you know, just far as like, you know, I'm just ready to be back to my old self, be able to eat what I want to eat or whatever. But, you know, nothing changes really, you know, it's, same thing I did before, man, just cleaned up what I'm eating and, you know, making sure that, you know, that I'm prepared for that last little weight cut, and we in there.
I was going to say, was that why you were punishing Brian Jackson so badly to the body, because he missed weight by 10 pounds there?
Well, definitely. Well, it was a plan to go to the body to him, because I watched a couple of his fights before, and he just looked soft to the body. And then when he weighed in 10 pounds heavy and he had the little belly, I said, oh, yeah, that body going to definitely be soft. So it was definitely a reason why more I went to the body on him early in the fight.
But just like curious about the, I guess, learning curve you've had so far, because I was checking out a Bare Knuckle news interview you did a bit after your debut and described the outing as, you know, tough but fun, but yet also talking about how you ended up, you know, breaking your hand in the first round and kind of had to rally from that and everything. Like, have you kind of since, I guess, learned how to, I guess, curate your style or alter the approach so as to prevent certain things like that? Like, I guess, what have you learned on like a fight to fight basis with this bare knuckle journey?
Well, it's one of the things that I fell in love with is that, you know, every fight so far I've had to do different. I mean, every fight I've done differently so far, I've had a different game plan or I've had different things that I was going to go in about it. But I learned a lot in that first fight, you know, far as the, in that first fight, you know, when I tried to hit Buddy, I tried to hit Buddy like I had gloves on. I literally just threw every, you know, I threw it like I had a glove on, you know, and when I broke my hand, you know, I went back and I realized that, you know, I don't really, because, you know, later on, because when I broke my hand and then later on in the fight, that same fight when my hand was broke, I hurt him bad with some jabs. Like, I hurt him real bad with some jabs. Like, hurt him real bad with the jab in the left hand. So I realized in that fight that you don't really have to hit the guy as hard as you. You know, you don't have to throw hard. You just got to land in the right places, especially with no glove on. So that's one good thing that I learned is that, you know, it's more about placing the punches in the right spot instead of, you know, trying to throw everything into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It does make sense, though, just based on the prior experience of like over a dozen MMA fights across amateur and pro, and also a few kickboxing bouts from what I noticed. So there's probably like a bit of like competitive muscle memory going on there.
Right.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. And just kind of curious about the, you know, preparations, I guess, in a couple different regards. I guess the first question I had related to that, I just mentioned some of the other combat sports you previously applied your trade in. Like, do you have any, I guess, extra sort of bare knuckle tricks that you add into the mix? Like, I know some fighters don't necessarily go this route, but certain guys will do like the work with like the wooden Muay Thai boards or like, you know, punching sand, gripping rice, things of that persuasion. Do you do anything like that?
Yeah, I had to, man, because even after the Brian Jackson fight, my hands swelled up a little bit, and I was just like, man, I gotta do something, man. And I bought one of the old karate Japan boards, the punching that you could punch and toughen your knuckles up. I bought one of them, and just been like my front knuckle, not my knuckles or my hands, but my front knuckles is kind of tore up right now because I've been hitting the bag with no gloves. And then I've also been doing like push-ups on my knuckles. So just like, you know, doing little things to try to toughen them up. And actually in this camp, they've been feeling better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they just feel hard. They feel like they're just ready to crack a head right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, part of the growth, I guess, from what we're talking about on that, you know, fight-to-fight basis. But one of the other preparation-based questions that I had, because I noticed, like, a few years ago, it seemed like you were getting in some good work at TFTC, and I saw you at Brunson's MMA and Fitness last fall. It seems like TFTC has been a space for a bit. Like, where are you mostly training at ahead of this fight?
Well, I've been spread out for this camp, and that's really the thing about North Carolina right now. Like, if you're not like in Raleigh or in Charlotte or in Wilmington, like, then there's not really like a, especially at my level, like far as the early level, like if you're an amateur, then yeah, you'll get the work that you need around here. You know what I'm saying? There's guys around here that'll push you. But at the level that I'm at, that I'm fighting at right now on the pro level, you know, it just kind of sucks because everything's kind of spread out and I got to go here, there, and everywhere. But TFTC's my home. That's where I've been for the last 11 years. And, you know, so definitely I've been there, like, at least a couple days a week I'm there. I'm a coach at TFTC, so I'm the head coach of the MMA class at TFTC. So we offer an MMA class. And the West competitive MMA class, it's like a competitive class. If you fight, whatever, no matter if you kickboxing, boxing, whatever, if you're competing, know, a couple days a week. And then I've also been at Elite Martial Arts, which is actually, it's right down the street from where I live. I can get there in like 5 minutes. And my head coach, my head corner man, Carlos Martin, he owns that school. And a lot of, like, there's a lot of guys that's in the UFC that work with him too, that we all meet up at his gym and we train and we spar and we help each other get ready and prepare for fights and stuff. And also, I've been getting a lot of work at a Muay Thai gym called Thai Kai Academy. It's in Wilson. They got like a whole ring set up, and I've been going there on Friday nights, and they've been round robbing me to death, like putting like 10 guys, a different guy each round. So I just been spread it out everywhere. And then on the weekends, I've been going down to Brunson and training with Brunson and James Brown. The guy, James Brown just fought. He just fought on BKFC 41. Actually, he beat the WBO former world champ, Alvarado.
Yeah.
James has been a really great sparring partner for me for this fight, because James is real long too. He's got really long arms and he's really fast. He's got a really good jab. So me and James has been putting in a lot of work for this fight. So I just been spread out everywhere, man, and you know, just trying to shout out everywhere I've been going. I'm sorry, it was like four different places, but that's just kind of how it is right now for me, man. With where I live and the gyms around me, you know what I mean?
No, it's cool though. You're able to get in that kind of work, and that's awesome. Like you were talking about getting in work with James Brown, I thought he had like a very exemplary, like range-minded kind of performance, and it's like you were kind of reading my mind with the question almost. It's like it segues perfectly into fighting someone here who, just with his frame alone, you'd think would be able to, you know, manage that distance well and stuff like that. Is that mostly how you've been kind of curating the sparring partner dynamics for this one? Just like someone that's like very adept with the range, so you can, you know, close space on your opponent who has such a long frame.
Well, you know, obviously, dude's tall as shit. It's like I've been trying to get the tall guys. It's been hard to find somebody 6'8", man, especially 6'8" that know how to fight. But yeah, that's what we've been working on a lot, man. Because we obviously know, man, dude ain't gonna do nothing different than what he does. That's what he does. He fights off his jab. He fights too long. You know, he's not gonna want to try to brawl with me. He's gonna try to stay away from me. But, you know, I'm just as long as he is. I'm not as tall as he is, but I'm just as long as he is. Like, actually, my arms is longer. I have a 79-inch reach, and he has a 78-inch reach. So, I think that's going to be a factor in this fight, too. I think that he's not used to guys being able to touch him, especially in his first two BKFC fights. Even the one that he lost, the dude was having a hard time getting to him. So, I don't think it's going to be that. You know, I ain't going to have to reach as far as them guys, or have to work as hard to get in on them as them guys did. So I think that's going to be a factor in the fight, too. You know, the range difference. He's going to think he'll be able to stay outside of the range, and I'll be able to touch him just as much as he'll be able to touch me. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, interesting in a lot of regards. I was actually talking to Blake Lacaz about an hour or so ago and getting his insights on the fight. He seemed to see this as a very curious one for the middleweight division, as far as like, you know, where the winner could vault from here, like maybe even potentially run it with like a top five ranked opponent after, just considering like the skills you guys have and the placement on the card. Is that kind of a characterization you share as well? Like, not overlooking this fight obviously, but do you see this as a fight that could really vault you towards like a great opportunity at middleweight?
Yeah, definitely me, obviously, because if I win, I keep the goose egg. So, you know, it's going to be kind of hard for the middleweight division or BKFC, you know, just for people to not, you know what I mean, like, not recognize who Coltrane is after this, you know, especially if I can win in dominant fashion. You know, with like I said, with the timing and BKFC 41, I think it's going to be extra eyes on us. And just because of BKFC 41, I think it's going to be a little extra eyes on us, that people that tune into BKFC 41 that hadn't tuned into BKFC before, I think that they'll tune into this one. And so, you know, that's been something else that's been on my mind. Like, I know if I can win this fight, in a dominant way that, you know, it'll be a lot of eyes on me, and it's gonna, you know, be able to catapult me up, you know, to a top five or, you know, or a name, you know, a top five. You know, a top five is a name, but I meant like a name far as like the UFC name or somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're laying down for sure, and I mean, that would make a great deal of sense, but just a bit earlier you were talking about, like, you know, training and some of the endeavors you've gotten into with that, just like teaching martial arts to different people. I was seeing, like, around, not quite a year ago, but around that point, you had a pretty proud moment from how you were describing it, where you got to, you know, get in some good work with your son. Like, he was having, like, the very first sparring session, and seemed like you guys were having a good time there. Is he still kind of, you know, keeping up with that and everything? I'm curious about all that.
Yeah, my son, he's real big on, he's real big on football and basketball, but, I've always, ever since he's been living with me now for 5 years, it's just me and him, we live together. And, you know, ever since he's been living with me, I told him, you know, I was like, it's just, you know, it's no way that your dad, you know, can fight and do all this. I've been doing all this for this many years and you don't learn. So he's actually learned how to hold mitts for me. And he's actually learned how to hit mids. He likes the boxing aspect more so. Like, you know, we work a little bit of the grappling aspect just because I wanted him to know. But me and him, we mostly work, you know, boxing or you know, the stand up aspect of it. And he likes it, man. And that was the first time I actually put some punches on him, like, for real. And, like, obviously, I didn't hit him hard to the face when we was born, but, like, I really touched him to the body. And, shoot, he surprised me, man. He actually held up some tougher than some of these dudes I spar with in the gyms out here.
Yeah, it must be some.
I think it's important for me to show him, you know, how to protect himself. And, you know, I keep him working with me at least one day a week on some type of stuff like that. Either we're doing something as far as like fighting or working mitts or you know, doing something that helps his athleticism.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear and cool that he has those other athletic endeavors that he's kind of involving himself into. Seems like some good athletic genes in the family. But something else I was also noticing when I was checking out the social media, you were shouting out the DX theme song as a classic. Was that kind of like something you were getting up to in the late 90s? Like, I was kind of an Attitude Era guy. That was like a younger lad watching it and really got into it. Was that something you were into back in the day?
Yes. Oh, man. Especially back in the day. I can't get into it no more, man. My youngest son love it, man. And I'm probably going to end up taking him to a show, especially next time they come around North Carolina. Just because he love it, but I can't really get into it anymore, man. But back in them days, with DX, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, all them guys, man, oh, man. But that song in itself, like, that song is just a classic. Like, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even talking about the words. You can just play the beat and, you know what I mean, let it go. But the words, too, man, everything about it is just a classic, man. And back then, man, I was the kid getting suspended for doing the DS sign in school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like getting kicked off the bus and shit. You know?
Yeah, I mean, exact same boat for me, for sure. But that's kind of fun that your kid's getting into it. Like, what show are you guys going to? Is that like a SmackDown taping? Is it like a WWE thing? Or, like, what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever one comes around, if it's SmackDown, it'll be WWE, though, for sure. But whatever one comes to North Carolina or close on, I'm definitely going to try to take him to the next one that I can, you know what I mean? But just because he loves it. But, yeah, I don't even know none of the names or anything, but he can tell me all the names. He can tell me everybody, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
It's like, if it ain't the older names, I don't know who he's talking about. I'm like, who? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Wrestling can be kind of like a fun generational thing in that regard, too, though. Like, it keeps kind of moving on, and there's like a new cast of characters for the younger lads and stuff like that. But I guess just one last question that I had here, because you've been good with your time, but usually I, you know, ask fighters like the backstory on the nickname, and I dig yours. I feel like it suits you and everything like that, the Cold Red nickname. Like, what was the, I guess, origin story as far as like who gave it to you and the reasoning behind it, etc.?
Okay, so Cold Red is really my rap name that I had when I was a kid, right? So I So my rap name is Cold Red, and I got the name because I was light skinned, right? So I'm red, I'm red bone, I'm light skinned, so they always used to call me Red. And because of my lyrics was always real, meaning that when I rapped, I didn't rap about shit that I didn't have, or, you know, stuff like that, or, you know, jewelry and cars. And like when I rapped, I talked about life. I talked about what was going on in my life. I talked about how I felt. So the boys would always say my lyrics is cold. So that's how I came to be Cold Red, because it was like, I'm a cold, light-skinned dude. So, you know, that's how I got the name Cold Red. And when I started fighting, I was like, man, you know what? I don't, like, everybody had, like, little train nicknames or whatever, and I just went with it. I was just like, you know what? I'm Cold Red. That's what my homeboy's been calling me for years. That's just what I'm going to be in fighting, too, and that's what I went with, man. So I got it from rapping, man. And I feel like, you know, nobody's got that nickname, man. You ain't even never, like, who, you ain't never heard nobody say Cold Red. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it sounds like Cold Red.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know, and it's Cold Red, and it's just different, and I like it, man, and I just dealt with it.
Yeah, that's a great backstory. I love that. I definitely wouldn't have guessed that, but yeah, no, I mean, that's an awesome nickname, and glad you were able to, you know, carry it over, and it kind of came from, like, some of your buddies giving it to you back in the day. That's awesome. But you've been really good with your time, Doug, and it's been awesome to get such good insights ahead of a fight I was already excited for, but very much stoked for it more now. But like I was saying earlier, I want to be mindful of your time and everything too. So to that point, is there maybe like any final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up?
No, man. I'm just enjoying it, man. Like, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the interviews. I'm about to enjoy this moment when we get up to the hotel. Like, bro, I'm not letting it get to me, man. Like, I'm breathing it all in, man, and I'm just ready, man. I'm just ready. So, just I appreciate you too, man, and, you know, reaching out to me, man, talking to me about it.
Yeah, I mean, a mutual appreciation. Definitely glad to, you know, have gotten your time and to have you on the show and everything. And glad to hear you're, you know, enjoying the moment, because, yeah, definitely a big profile being the co-main event of this, you know, BKFC 42 show. And definitely excited for this Blake Lacaze fight on May 12th. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Doug. And thanks for the time, man.
Yes, sir, man. You have a good day too, buddy. I'll see you soon.